Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless.
Today I came with the intention of talking about the goodness of God. And we know that Jesus is the chief cornerstone and that the house of God is built and we are living stones being built together as a dwelling place of God by His Holy Spirit. And I believe that the cornerstone of Christ is obviously represented in many beautiful facets. And yet I would say that one of the most fundamental cornerstones of my faith, and I believe of our faith as people of God who are settling into our identity as sons and daughters, who know the love of the Father, we would say that the cornerstone of our belief is that God is good. And I would say that the primary mission of Jesus on the earth was to express the goodness of the Father in everything that He said and everything that He did. And I would go so far as to say that the primary mission of the Holy Spirit released to us as a promise, not only as a guaranteed deposit of the inheritance that we're receiving as co-heirs with Christ Jesus, but His anointing to give us capacity to go above and beyond ourselves, to give us insight and to let us participate in miraculous things on the earth as it is in heaven, that dynamic, the primary mission of the Holy Spirit, is to express the goodness of God and to let us be a conduit of God's goodness to people. Because as I was making my way over here this morning, the Lord gave me a redirect, which is fine. I've been accused of being a little loosey-goosey when it comes to this kind of stuff. It's fine. It's not scripted. Honestly, it's not. I think in terms of the dynamic Word of God speaking in good season, we all have to be prepared and ready. We may have our fancy talk tucked away in our back pocket, and the Father would, He would challenge us to say, look, I want to actually do something different. You okay with that? Yeah. So on Thursday night, we have a gathering of folks. And Dana brought just an encouragement through the passage of Scripture where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. But Jesus knows that Lazarus is sick and He tarries, He waits. And then when He comes, Lazarus has already died. And Lazarus' sister's like, if only you had been here, you know. And she's weeping, and Jesus is moved by that. He weeps. Then He raises Lazarus from the dead. We know the story. I was struck by the deep fabric of their relationship to Jesus as a family. This is two sisters and a brother. The brother's just died. And what I'd like to do this morning is I would actually like to say, look, to kind of requote, I guess Bill Johnson said this, you know, whenever the Lord tarries in His answer to your prayer, it's so that the answer can start building some equity or some interest. So that when the answer does come, it really packs a wallop. Like, it's really timely and good, and it's really intentional. And yet, sometimes when we find ourselves in a season where we've been praying for something, like life is not going as we wanted it to or as we intended for it, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in a season where we're crying out for the goodness of God and He tarries. The thing I believe that held that family together through those several days, even as Lazarus died, was the relationship they had with Jesus. They trusted Him. So what we might be tempted to turn into an accusation against God, like, I thought you were good. The sustaining grace that they experienced came through a relationship that I'd like to reference actually in Luke 7. This comes much before Lazarus dies. And I won't read the whole thing, but let me just preface it by saying there was a Pharisee who asked Jesus to dinner. And during the dinner, when they sat down to eat, in verse 37 of Luke, chapter 7, verse 37, a certain immoral woman from the city heard that Jesus was eating there, and she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. And she knelt behind him at his feet and wept, and her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. Verse 47, Jesus goes into a lesson with Simon. He says, look, the Pharisees, like, look, if you're forgiven for a lot, you're going to really express love and gratitude. You know, it's just like, it's just easy to see. That's just the equation. And so this woman, in verse 47, I tell you, her sins, and they are many. He's not pretending like she's an angel, right? She's lived with a lot of sin in her life. Her sins have been forgiven. And so, she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven very little shows very little love. And it goes on. The point that I want to make here is this, that there is a response of our heart to the goodness of God. And so, what I'd like to do is just take a couple more minutes here to share some thoughts, and then I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up, and we're going to let our hearts respond to the goodness of God. You see, Thursday night, Dana had asked Tim, hey, Tim, could you read from your journal? And you had written in that journal, what, maybe 5 years ago? And it was an excerpt out of his journal where Tim was struggling to just, maybe not struggling, but just had some questions about, God, when am I going to experience your goodness? Because I've been praying for the carpal tunnel in my wrists for a lot of months here, and they don't seem to be getting better. And Tim had settled in the idea that the goodness of God is born out of the essence of who God is, not necessarily the circumstance and how he can change that for us and make our lives easier necessarily. Although I think the Father really, really loves to express his goodness to us in ways that are just powerful. Tim said that while he was receiving some prayer here at New Covenant, his carpal tunnel like got healed. Like, so he hasn't experienced carpal tunnel. So there was kind of the answer to that tarrying, you know. It had built up some interest, and bam, and he was writing this in his journal, and it was really great. And so Dana and Tim, they're sharing this on Thursday night, and all of a sudden my left arm just started aching. Like, I had no reason for it to hurt. Like, I hadn't been working out. I hadn't lifted anything. I hadn't gotten hit. And all of a sudden, my arm is just like, oh, my gosh. Like, for a half an hour, and it's, like, getting distracting. And finally, the light bulb goes off. That's a word of knowledge. Like, so I asked, like, hey, is there anyone here who has trouble with their left arm? Does anyone have pain in their left arm? And Dana raised her hand. She's like, I've been, like, struggling with pain in my left arm since I was 11 years old. And she's holding back tears, and she's like, and I was praying yesterday that God would heal this. And so she went and told the story about it, and we got to surround her and pray for her. And it's really a beautiful expression of how the Holy Spirit would want to display the goodness of God, not only in word, but in deed. Like, it's not enough that we would just talk about the goodness of God. The goodness of God is something to be experienced. Do you realize that in this story of the woman who worships Jesus, pours out the alabaster, wipes his feet with her hair, this is Lazarus's sister? The fabric that held them together during that season of unanswered prayer where their brother is dying, and they know that the only hope that he has is Jesus, was an experience with the mercy of God. She knew God is good. He can do this. And then when he doesn't come through the way that she imagined it should happen, she's got enough relational equity with Jesus that she's just like, hey, if only you had been here, you know? So she's being straight up and authentic and just like, hey, this is what I'm feeling. I'm grieving. My brother's lost. I just had this idea as we were worshiping that God can trump our perception of his goodness at any moment. Whatever we have experienced of God's goodness, like her pouring out her heart in worship because she is forgiven. Yes, that is good. And this is good. And she probably thought that this was hopeless by the time he had laid in that tomb for several days. The point of that is wherever you're at, whatever you've experienced from God, there is more of God's goodness for you to touch. There's more of God's goodness for you to receive. And so the way that our hearts respond to that is in worship. And so I'd like to ask these guys to come on up. We're just going to spend some time in worship. The goodness of God touches everything. Can you imagine? I'm only assuming, right? So far be it from me to add to the scripture, but if I were imagining culture of that day and you have this woman who is known in the city as an immoral woman, she's an adulterous woman, she's a prostitute, whatever the situation was for her. Can you imagine that in an upright family that brought a pretty major division? Like there was probably a lot of separation. I'm only presuming that was probably the case. So when Jesus brought the forgiveness to her, he also reconciled an entire family who walked with him. I can't help but go there. That's not lost on me, right? So the goodness of God touches everything. So why don't we stand right now? I'm just going to pray for us. I believe that music was created by God. And music speaks to our hearts. And music gives us a way to express ourselves to God. We don't have to express gratitude in music alone. Times of just straight up gratitude, telling the stories, just living life to the fullest with your family and friends. That's an act of worship. And yet I think there are like dynamics of music that connect our souls to the reality of God's goodness. We were experiencing it earlier this morning. I'm praying now, Holy Spirit, bring us into that absolute assurance that you are good, Father. You are good. And your goodness endures. Give us the confidence, as with the psalmist who would say, I am confident that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Give us that confidence. Let us express hearts of gratitude and worship because we know that you're good, because we've experienced it. It's not an ideal. It's not a concept. It meets us in the very real place of our struggles, of our humanity, of our doubts, our fears, and it awakens hope to us. It's your goodness expressed in kindness that changes our lives. You change us through your goodness. So let us experience that. Go above and beyond what we've ever known of your goodness. Thank you, Father.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.